And we are on the air.
So what we last left you.
What we had recognized was that it was somewhat challenging to construct unified theories of any of the primary terms. And we're trying to see if we could, right? So we were trying to see what the term Yoredi Molo Chayav meant specifically, and we had constructed a not terribly complicated argument that said that Yoredi Molo Chayav seemed to be the permission to be Yoredi Molo Chayav could be read to some degree as the inverse of the prohibition against being Yoredi Lumanato. Right, that being Yoredi Lumanato is what we tell you you can't do, being Yoredi Molo Chayav is what we tell you you can do. And, right, and there seems to be some connection between those terms. The nexus between them is that if you call somebody a rasha, then that person can be yored imcha lechayecha. And if you are an anima hapech becharara, if you take something from an anima hapech becharara, then you are called a rasha. And perhaps because, as Rashi says, because you have been yored lechokum. The token on top, right? So we connected all those terms.
Yeah.
It says, if you were Yoredi Molo Chayav? Doesn't say
Sheyoredi
Molo Chayav. Okay. We'll see how the other Rashi's where he talks about Yoredi Molo Chayav. So we're trying to figure right now. Our goal here is to figure out what is it that is wrong about being Yoredi Lotokum on top. And why is it that under certain circumstances that might be permitted? Okay, so we saw that that for Rashi it seems that Yoredi Molo Chayav is a broader term, right, which can include infringing on someone's livelihood, but is not limited to it. He also had that moment in Rashi in Bava Metzia, there was a sudden moment where he says, right, so we read Rashi Bava Metzia at the bottom of I think it was called page 12. So Rashi says, Yoredi Molo Chayav, right, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yossi Bor, a samyut in a hem shal mavei beribit, look at the blindness of people in the interest. Adam karei lechaviru rasha, Yoredi Molo Chayav. The normal way of the world is that if somebody calls you a rasha, you respond by being Yoredi Molo Chayav. So one could say here that Rashi is not here giving a normative description. Right, he is just describing. When people do this, this is what people do in response without legitimating it. But we see elsewhere that it seems that this statement is not just descriptive, but normative, that if somebody calls you a rasha, you are allowed to do that. So Rashi says, Ragili pateti mo ki'ilu bikau, if ilu balahar go, so there's extreme rhetoric of ki'ilu balahar go. And the response, then Rashi says, Vani shamati rashai le'reid le'tofum nato shel kaviro, ulema'it mezonatav shel kaviro. V'kashe v'einai, she'atiru chachamim v'inakem v'ligmol ra'a. All of a sudden, there's a moralistic outburst. How could the chachamim... Now, does this question apply to both of his interpretations? Or not, because then he's left with no interpretation at all. So the way of understanding this, right, simply is that Rashi thinks the second explanation is wrong, the first explanation is correct. So he doesn't have a problem with Chachamim being matir, being lehit kotet imo. You can argue with him. But you cannot be yored letok umnato
u'mimimait mezonotav. Yes, Chaim. One of the translation of lehit kotet in the Jastro is actually very similar to lehaknit.
Which is
not just to argue, but to frustrate and... I think that we assume that...
Vex. He has an example of what vexation you're doing.
Yeah, vexation, yes.
Hitting someone isn't the same as competing with them in business.
So what Rashi says, right, so there are two definitions of what you can do. You can be mitkotet, or you can be yored letokum nato, and he says, well, not the second one, because that would be vengeance. That would be vengeance and causing bad. We don't do that. We're just mitkotet. That's what it sounds like he's saying.
That's also treating him like a redneck.
Right, so that's hard to square with treating him as a redneck. He would say, well, I don't understand how the chachamim could possibly tolerate vengeance, like, interfering with his business, killing him. That's one thing.
Right, so if you look at the Rashi that way, it's very right. So the one hand, I point out the extreme rhetoric of Kilu Bala Hargo, on the other hand, it's hard to justify because the Rashi rejects that. Rashi accepts that one because that's not nekama. Now you could say that's not nekama; it's self-defense, because after all, he's eroded. But that's difficult, I think, difficult to sustain. So, what do you think motivates this Rashi? The kasha beinai sheyatiru chachamim li Yisrael li nakim. What kind of argument is that? Answer it.
Clearly something wrong happened, but so why here are we using an extra legal force that requires an actor to break laws we're usually not okay with versus using a legal...
Okay, so Rashi's question is, why does Chacham allow private vengeance?
Right, well, especially because vengeance is a low time, isn't...
Yes, vengeance is mine, say it for okay, yes, Yaakov.
I think maybe the problem that he has, and the problem that a few of us were having, and I don't know how to square this with the other Rashis, is that it's really the igmora, meaning it seems to be a never-ending circle at some point, that as soon as you are your Yoritvotokha, you become someone, a Rasha, and then that person will just respond in kind. So by allowing this sort of action, it just provides a breakdown in...
So this is prudentially a very bad idea,
yeah.
To allow people to respond to being called a Rasha by becoming Rashaim.
Yeah.
I think that's a very powerful argument. I'm not sure it fits in the language, right? But I think that is a very powerful prudential argument against this thing. Yes, Avi?
I think what it is almost explicit. Echiatiru.
Yeah.
How is it that they made allowed something that was not allowed?
And normally the Kotate is allowed?
No, it's normally not allowed. Perhaps it is, or perhaps it's not totally asur.
Totally asur. This is a new term. Totally asur.
Totally asur.
We can say the California accent. Totally asur.
That's a specific California accent, which is not mine. But it's echitiru applies to me that nekama is asur, echitiru anashay asur.
Uh-huh.
So perhaps that's close to the how do they allow something extrajudicial? We put people to death, which is like killing is asur, or murder is asur. How is it possible to do something that's asur? Oh, in the judicial context, it's okay. So you could say it's similar to Eliot. How is it possible that they allowed the judicially mutar thing, mutar outside of the judicial context?
So I think the legalistic answer would be much stronger if he didn't say ligmol ra'ah. He just said lina came, so now you're sticking to halachic categories.
Hmm.
Once he says lina came viligmol ra'ah, it sounds like he's dafka trying to go beyond the formal legal category and say, how could you let them do this? Okay, yes, Supreme Achor.
Maybe if someone calls you a Russia, there are two immediate effects. One is that he hurts you, and one of them is that he causes the community to view you differently.
Uh-huh.
And when you're worried, what you're doing is retaliating against what he did to you in the community. But when you're just treating like a roadie, that's retaliating against what he did to you personally, and that should be okay.
Okay. See,
I don't know why Rashi thinks that's less to come up, but it seems like he's differentiating.
Okay, the possible axis. Yeah, I think you have to explain further why that, right? You have a distinction now, yet, right? Now you have to make it. Now you have to explain why it's different. Okay. Yes, Jeff.
I think Rashi is inverting the midrashic and agadic statement of Shalosh Matzot Mutana Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Rachamim, Vaishanim, Vigomle Hasadim.
Aha. So the reaction. So how do we let people be not Rachmanim and not Gomle Hasadim? And you're missing
other.
Yisrael. Okay, I don't know that Rachmanim and Rachmanis and Nekama are always opposites, and. Of all things, you know. Okay, they're conceptually opposite, but have you ever said that he's not a Rachman, he's a Nokema? I don't know. Linguistically, it doesn't.
To be Gomel
Ra'ah as opposed to Gomel Chesed, I see that. But to be Nokema as opposed to Rachman.
But Echitir in Israel.
Liot Achzarim, that's what we should say if they want. I think. Yes, Yaakov.
So easy to make this point because we don't have Rashi on it, but the I would think a more paradigmatic point of someone of someone going outside of the judicial system to get there to get justice would be Koldalan Var, and over there, as far as I know, no one brings up this sort of Eichatiru.
Right, that's true.
So I have trouble thinking that it's just because we can't allow people to go outside of the judicial system. That's why I think it's more of a Ligmora issue, or as a moral or like I was saying, practical in the future issue.
Okay.
It could be Ligmora as an alchic statement defining like why this would be Nakama. Meaning, someone calls me stupid, I call him stupid back. Maybe the son is addressed in Nakama. Meaning, the fact that you take an action that has monetary implications is what makes it Nakama. Being Ligmo Ra is what makes
Ligmo
it a halachic category of Nakama.
Okay. I can see how that works in a particular sensibility. I don't agree with it, but I can see how that works in a particular right. That works with the
particular assumption. I don't agree with it either. But
okay, good. Well, I agree with your disagreement, but I think it's plausible within a certain kind of reading. Yes.
This reading of Rashi, I'm not buying because in other instances of where the president doesn't get involved, he doesn't raise such questions. Like by Tapu Kum, Rashi doesn't raise these objections.
That it's outside the judicial system.
Yeah.
And here Rashi says it very, he tells you very clearly, look at Rashi Kedushin Daf Kochet, Kilomar, Lazu ain't Beit Din Niskakim.
Yeah, so the word Lazu is very like, that's the operative word in that case.
Yeah, he thinks Nikra Rasha is a case which Dafka Beit Din chooses not to get involved with. I think that's right. The problem is that here, right, that Rashi also there says, right, Avol Mudra L'Sanato V'Afla Ma'id Parnaso To B'Lerei Lum Nato, which he says in Av Metzia, right, he thinks it's impossible. So I don't, but I think if we look in the Shita, you'll see that this is a Rashi Madura Kama, a Rashi Madura Basra, but it's not clear that there is a way of reconciling Rashi. Rashi may have changed his mind at some point, in which case. Rashi rewrote his commentary in his lifetime, and sometimes the edition we have, right, may be the first edition on one Masechta and the second edition on a different Masechta. So maybe the Rashi changed his mind, but we happen not to have the places where he changed the commentary to exclude this. So in which case, there's no hope of consistency. Okay. So let's try and see if we can do this as an exercise in the Ravon. Right, so we'll give it up in consistency in Rashi. But perhaps the Ravon was consistent. The Ravon says, this is talking about the son, right, the son who won't learn. Imo yilmod, lo yifarnesoto, v'yikapeh parnesoto, kid amar, hakarei l'chaveir rasha yireidim olachayav, u'pershu ha'ga'onim, Mamid chanut etzel chanuto umkapeh parnasato. So the Ravan says, first of all, that we wish to say that the parallel between the son who won't learn and the person who calls you a rasha is exact. Right? We are deriving the definition of yoredim olachayav in one place or another, and he has a traditional definition of yoredim olachayav in the case of karei l'chaveir rasha, and that is about as explicitly in economic competition for the purpose of damage as you can get. You put a store up next to his store so as to curtail his earnings. Okay, Ravon does not ask at this point, hey, how could this be? Right. In the Ravon, which we call the Shalit Shuvot, are at the end of the book, although they're at the end of volume one. We will see this Shuvah at length later. So the Ravan says, "Amashu pasku ha'goniim after the chaver rasha yoder mochayav hamit chanut etzel chanuto." Rabbi Shlomo shadi beinarga mehad dechtuvos. So he mentions, right? So Rashi, as we saw in Av Metzia, Rashi has two objections, right? He has the moral objection or the whatever the objection is. How could the chacham permit this? And secondly, he says, that can't be, when it comes to having your son learn, it can't be that you're cut, that you are yored l'tokum nato, that's what yored l'chayav means literally, because your son doesn't have an imanot. That's the whole point. He wants to have an imanot, but you want him to keep learning. So, right, so the Ravan here quotes the second attack, and not the first. But in Ketubot, he just quoted the explanation of the Gaon. So we have the same contradiction in the Ravan we have in Rashi, but now we don't really have the
Right? It's a little cheaper to claim that he changed his mind. We don't have any Madhura Kama, Madhura Bastra, the Rama. Then the Ravana in Sanhedrin, the first one, first Ravana in Sanhedrin, says, right, if you look at the last line, right, says the whole conversation is about what kind of sins you have to do in order to become Pasul Eidut. And Abaye says that somebody who is Ochel Nevelot Lahach Isla Shemayim, somebody who eats treif with the goal of angering heaven, that person is Pasul and Rasha, and this Desai is a technical machloket about what kinds of sins you have to do to become the kind of Rasha who is Pasul Eidut. Does it have to be a Rasha de Hamas, which is some kind of financial crime? Or can it be even if you engage only in mitzvot, which we'll call the Adam Makom? And Abaye paskins, right, that we don't need a Rasha de Hamas. V'hachi hilchasa kavate, and halakha follows Abaye. The cave of the Kaimelon ke Abaye lo ba'in Rasha de Mamon. Hamagbia yado al chavero u'make et chavero nikra Rasha u'pasul le'edut. Okay, so he has a cat now. He doesn't tell us, and he says it's somebody who lifts his hand against his friend and, right, and hits him. But the problem is, as we learn, right, as he acknowledges in the next one, is that when do you become a Rasha? When you hit him or when you lift your hand? Right, so the next Rabban, he says, Amar Resh Lakish Kol Magbi Adol Chavero Nikra Rasha, Vim Tav Oledin Korin Oto Beitin Rasha, Upasul le'edut ad sheyashuv mirishato v'yasedid. So here he doesn't put in the qualification that he was actually struck. He just says, right, he seems to think it's just the moment that you raise your hand against your friend, you become a Rasha, and becoming a Rasha means not just that we can damage you economically, kalvachomer, that you're allowed to argue with you, it really means that it has court consequences, and the court consequences are that you become pasul le'edut. And if you have to take a shvua, you can't, and the other person takes the money. So we have the Rex. So the Ravan talks about this in three different places, and he has three different definitions, none of which are consistent.
Well, this is a different place, though. The first two are Yerim al-Khayyab, and this is Nikwa Rasha.
Yerim al-Khayyab is the consequence for Nikwa Rasha. So that, right?
No. The consequence of you calling somebody a Rasha.
Yes. So you can try and divide it. You can try and divide it.
We don't have to accept Rashi that he's Nikra Rasha because he's Yerim al-Khayyab.
Okay. Don't have to accept Rashi. That might get you out of one of them.
What?
That might get you out of one of them. Still leaves you with two.
Right.
And it still
leaves us with the contradiction Rashi set up in the first.
Yeah. And I still like the Sishto. So I prefer to, but you can, you know, if that's the way you can get a consistent thesis is by saying, no, right, you know, it's not the same thing to be Nikra Rasha and to be a Rasha, right? What you can do to a Nikra Rasha is not the same as what we can do to Rasha, then okay, but I'd rather go this way. Okay. Now, the Ritva, right, Ritva says, Rasha Yerim al-Khayyab, so you put, Mida Kineged Mida, the Ihu Mi'abed Yimenu Chiyuto, Sheherasha ain't habriot mirachmin lo, the avzu ain't beitin niskakin lo, elam utar lo lebreid lumatol lo hafsid chiyuto. So here we have like one of these. We want to set it up structurally. So he says, "Well, this is midah kedeged midah. What did the other guy do to you?
Cause you potential damage, and that no one will trust you anymore.
And therefore, what he's doing is wait. What's our overall term? What he's done is to you, he is." Right. So the midah kedeged midah is he is me'abed imenu chiyutecha, so you can be already molechaya. Right, the midah kedeged midah hangs on the word chayim. In the middle there, he sticks in the afze ain't beit in niskakin lo as if it's part of the midah kedeged midah, but actually it isn't at all. Why should beit in niskak lo? So I confess that I don't. It's nice of the Ritva to put in this midah kedeged midah, but it turns out his midah kedeged midah is not at all precise. Why don't we say Beitin does that to you? Right? You're ma'abed min echiyutecha, so Beitin takes away, takes away your right. So here is, Chaim, do you want to offer a rereading? So here's the most radical way of getting this to work. When we say avze ein Beitin niskakin lo, so in Rashi, it meant clearly that Beitin is not niskak
to the person who was, or we read it as, Beit Din is not nikach to the person who was harmed. But maybe it means Beit Din is not nikach to the person who harmed. Ella, right, normally when somebody's a really tofel matefa, you can appeal to Beit Din, and the response, and the punishment is that you lose the protection of Beit Din. And that's, right, so by being that Beit, someone else's chayim, you lose, right, you lose the right of, you lose the right to demand Beit Din's protection for your chiyut. Maybe. I don't think that that's the easiest way of reading the words, but failing it, I find it very hard, I find it very hard to read the midah kedek and midah as the ritva. It seems like it's a kind of cheap trick to say that midah kedek and midah. Okay, one can.
Can you clarify that?
If I say midah kedek and midah, right? So midah kedek and midah, I understand the abed chiyut as opposed, right? And you can be a real tzol chayav. But in his language, it says. Right, midah kedek midah, and what's the first, right, so the first half of it is mabed chiyutav, and the second half is af ze in beit din nizkakin lo, which sounds like that's part of the midah kedek midah, right, not a tangent, right, just like, right, this is midah kedek midah, just like he does this, so to this person, bezin is not nizkak lo.
Just like harasha in a briyot meach min alav.
Yeah, af ze, so you want to say it's just like, the beit din stands for the people.
Civil society.
So that would support my reading. Ein Beit Din Nizkakin Lo means that Beit Din will not respond to him when he calls for help.
You called me a Rasha in the hopes of cutting me off from the rest of society.
Right.
Therefore, Beit Din treats you doesn't.
That's right. So the Lo, Ein Nizkakin Lo is the person who calls the person Rasha. It doesn't mean that Beit Din doesn't. It doesn't mean that you can't. That the damaged person, that doesn't mean the victim can't go to Beit Din. It means that the perpetrator.
Well, neither goes to Beit Din.
Yes. But the line here, Ein Nizkakin Lo, means that Beit Din doesn't respond to the perpetrator, not Beit Din doesn't.
I thought the Ein Beit Din Nizkakin Lo explains why it's a midah kedek. Meaning.
It's the same thing. It's two.
No, yeah. I thought Ein Beit Din Nizkakin Lo, therefore, because if Beit Din would handle this, you're not allowed to. Uh-huh. You can do this midah kedek midah only because Beit Din. This is not a case that is adjudicatable by Beit Din.
Exactly. It's low. It doesn't matter which one they are. It is because if Beit Din isn't dealing with one person, then meaning if Beit Din isn't dealing with the guy who called the other person to Russia, so and you have free reign, so then that's the same thing as Beit Din not preventing you from having.
Okay.
Free
reign. So we're all working towards the same idea somehow. That really, this is part of the midah kedek midah. And that he's removed himself from civil society somehow. That's what Yoredi Malachayav really means, is that you, right, you become an outcast.
Well, I don't know, because can someone else do it? Meaning it's not completely removed from civil society. Meaning if I call you a Russia, he can't come in and ruin my business.
I agree.
Only you can.
That's why I don't know, that's why it's not 100%. You know, it's we have a local removal. It's not glock to me. It's not glock. Yeah, Eliyahu
Chaim. What's the lesson of like, I feel like it says a lot, but I'm not sure what it says.
The af?
The af zeh, based on the fact.
I think it's just the so too. I think that's all it is. But if you can find a better reading, then go ahead. I think it's just so too.
Just seems
okay. Mode. Mode, it's not smooth. There are lots of weaknesses.
So I
thought
yes, it
was
because.
Not despite?
Friend?
Could you stretch it, right? Despite the fact that 16. He's not engaged in the matter.
No, I don't think. You need a sheze. I think you need a sheze. Yes, man.
Is it possible that he's quoting Rashi, but he has a little bit of a different girsa than we have?
Sure. Mm-hmm. What does his girsa mean?
Rashi's mashma that it's that Beit Din doesn't have to do anything, and his girsa sounds like he had a girsa which was mashma that Beit Din doesn't protect.
Okay, move it. That's fine. I still have to make. Okay, I want to make the point. Just the point.
so much sharper. If you take a look at the Rabbeinu Yonos on the Rishon of Metzia, so let's watch how he frames the Midah Kedemida. The Kevan Shekar'o L'Rasha Garam Lo She'ein B'nei Yiro Merachamin Olav She'choshdino Tov Aviro Kedolot. That's what's so terrible, right? When you call from a Rasha, they don't think you've, right? They don't think you've done something minor, they think you've done something major. Kevan Shu Me'id Olav. Right, so just like, right, he called him Rasha, so Kimo came. Now, the Kimo came really goes back a line earlier, right? So we should really go back, right? But actually, no, really, what did the other guy do? The other guy called him Rasha. Let's go ahead. Kevan the Karo Rasha. The Garam Lo She'ein B'nei Rachamin Olav She'choshdino Tov Aviro Kedolot Kevan Shu Me'id Olav Kimo Kain, Yered Gam Hu L'Umnato. What? Where did the Kimo Kain come from? Right? He, right, called you Rasha, which meant that B'nai Yiro would not be Merachem Olav, because they would call, suspect you of great Avirot, because you're testifying, so you should be allowed to spread vicious rumors about him. How does that relate to you can be Yiro Tov
Ometo? They don't trust you, therefore they're not going to go to you for business, so you can take away his business by going into the same thing.
But he didn't say, therefore you'll take away his business. He said, the Kevin Shkram Rasha, Dream Mel Shechoshdin Oto by Miroku Dolo.
Also,
have Rachamim is not the same as not buying. I don't have Rachamim on Walmart when I buy from them. And if I don't buy from Walmart, it's not because I don't have Rachamim about them, it's because their price is lower.
You have Rachamim on the little store owner.
Yeah. Pardon?
Like, even today, you have Rachamim on the corner store guy. Where's the family farm? I'm going to go to that guy to make sure he stays in business.
So that's an interesting notion of commerce, right? Where we have, as opposed to the rational consumer, we have the empathetic consumer. People
do it. Is it a category, Rachamim Olav? Or is it like, be nice?
Good question. Yeah. Joshua tried to turn it into a characteristic of the Jews. An Ein Rach.
It could still be a category, right?
Could be. You can look at Ein Rach and Love shows up somewhere. I don't remember where. All right. I don't really get the Midah Kedeged Midah Rabbeinu Yonatan. I think it's even harder to understand than the Rishpa. Okay. If we go on to the Shita Mekubetzit next, around page 14. So the Shita Mekubetzit starts off by telling you that you're already Mel Chayav, Kopeyo Lasok, Tera B'Kol Kocho, Rashi B'Madura Kama. Now we discover that the Rashi in Ksubas also, which only talks about compelling him. Yes, Abby.
Can you go back a second?
Yeah.
It seems like what you were assuming, especially when you brought up Walmart, was that we're talking about economic acts as acts outside of the ethical realm. But the Rabbeinu Yehonatan is saying, Tafko Hefe. That especially your economic acts are acts, are ethical acts, they're merciful or non-merciful acts. And so the implication here is the way to do it is to have this Achzari act of not giving him business.
So I agree that is the strongest possible reading of it, and I don't believe it's intended that strongly, but if you can find a, you know, you can build a theory off it, and you find enough I don't go that far off it. But I'm pointing out the problem, and your solution is solves the problem. So right, so you're better off than I am right now. You have better argument than I do. I just all I can say is it doesn't get instinct.
Are you saying that he's not afraid to do this?
I think it would be. I think he's saying the right thing to do. The big problem I have with what the Kraper said is just that the Rabban's assumption is that an economic act is ethically meaningful. Or the Rabbinic assumption.
Okay. So I understand. I opened that up, and I'm not. At the same time, I'm not going down that road. But it'd be nice if we could find a way to go down that road to some extent, at least. Okay. So Shita Gevetzes quotes Rashi of Durakama, who, right, his interpretation of Ksuba is unrelated to any practical things, just Kofeu. And then he says Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah Kasu Yoredim Ol Chayav Kilomar Makeh Otam Al Halechi. So this is where we just start having fun, right? It's not your lechayav. It's your lechayav. It's your descend on his cheeks or something like that, right? So that's right. Rabbeinu says your lechayav means that you slap him across the face and compel him to learn Torah. It has nothing to do with the or maybe that's what you can do. If someone calls you a Russia, slap him. Okay. That goes a mani of Sechovel Mazik, says Pasak Ravan, Sheposkim Dino Kane, Likrosa Rasha Upasulatus, right? So he quotes the Ram as a serious halachic statement. But now he goes ahead and goes one step further. Right, so now he goes on, right, he's actually right at the point that, what is it, Rabbi Noam, right? Who is it? You is it?
Maybe.
So the question that, right, so really it seems like what we've done is we sort of dealt entirely as if these are the only two people in the world. Right, so we say removed from social protection, but no, he still has social protection against other people. So he says the Ravan goes so far as to say, no, in any court case, you are a Rasha and you have been removed from the realm of people who can be trusted. Right? So even if somebody else, it's not that you are a Rasha against this person, so you can't swear against him. You're a Rasha, you can't throw up in court. And then he says,
this is different meaning. If I call you a Rasha, that's not a case where I am then called a Rasha and then I puzzle Aedis.
Well, depends what your Yerim Elochayav means.
No one thinks your Yerim Elochayav means I'm Nikra Rasha.
Who says?
Who said?
If you take Yoredi Molochayav as what is done to a Russia.
Right, so that's why this is Mina Kenegamida. That's not why this is a... I'm not necessarily becoming a Russia.
I don't know. I'm arguing all the way through that. It seems to me the simplest explanation of Mina Kenegamida is you call somebody a Russia, you're a Russia.
I'm not a monster, but I call someone a monster.
We can't do that. Although we're tempted, I think, to employ, right? We do sometimes say, right? Nobody would do that unless they were a mamzer, right? Adam Posel Bemumo, that's what that does, right? That's exactly what that does, right? The Midah can I give Midah?
That we do research and find out and try to find proof that you're actually a mamzer, as the Gemara says. Not that we assume it.
I don't know. Probably the mamzer is really, really extreme to do somebody because you can't undo it. But if you do tshuva, we can't say, oh, you're really not a mamzer. Right, we want you to be able to do tshuva, right? If I call you a mamzer, right? If we decide to pass you a mamzer, we don't have conditions of tshuva, because we'll say, we'd like to unmamzer you because after all you do tshuva, but then you'll be right. The asi lachlufe, right? B'mamzerim deraisa, we wouldn't allow that. So I think that's why we don't do that. It's hard to undo personal status that way. Okay, so we're going to get it. The chayin pasach ra'im. Who is ra'im? Yes, who wrote the friend? Sefer Ra'im. Right, so the Reim wrote Ahad. Now, what did the Reim write this? He wrote this Ahad, the Perak Omer, the Ani Mehapech Becharora Uvo Acher Benat Loi Menu Nikra Rasha. Okay, so right. So now he claims that the Reim connects the case of somebody who is Magbia Yado Al Chaviro to the case of Ani Mehapech Becharora. Okay, but then he undoes it. Right, or he says v'chein pasak ra'im, but what is ra'im paskin? Sheyesh lechazan haKnesset hachriz alav v'veit haKnesset birabim. That the chazan v'Knesset can proclaim publicly his status as a rasha. Now, if you take the v'chein seriously, so what is the purpose of the chazan declaring in public he's a rasha?
Public service announcement.
And what's the consequence
it's
of
an
it?
Open market. No.
V'chein. And he's puzzled Aedus. Right? If you say V'chein, right? If you say that the Ravan Paskin is puzzled Aedus, and so too the Ra'ein Paskin that you make a public declaration, so if you take the so too seriously, it means that the public declaration in Bezin is this person is a Rasha and puzzled Aedus. Right? Other people will try and read it as these are distinct tracks. That there's the judicial track where he's puzzled Aedus, and there's the public shaming track. Right, but if you read the V'chein of the Goz Amania seriously, it seems like it's Reim is right that he says, of course, if he's a Rasha, people have to know. Right? People should know that he can't take Shavuos, things like that. So I think if you take the V'chein seriously, now you have this, we have transferred this completely from the realm of Lezue and Beit Yidis Kakimlo, and we're saying that there are very, very real consequences. And now we go back to Ani Mahapech B'Charora. Right, Nikra Rasha, so he claims that the Yireim holds that the consequence of being Nikra Rasha by Ani Mehapech B'Charora is that you are, if you retake my reading, is that you are Pasul Eidut, and this is a very serious judicial phenomenon.
Unless the Chayin is just going on the fact that Nikra Rasha has some halachic.
Unless the Chayin is just meaning that. Yes, I said if you take the Chayin with great seriousness, which I am inclined to.
but I cannot demonstrate. Yes, Tova.
I'm wondering if some of the difficulties here are because it's unclear, at least to me, whether Yeredi Melechayev is a category or a moral, an idiom, a moral idiom.
That's true.
So, for example, the Rashi, like Rashi's contradictions, many of them, like if it's possible that some of them are under the like under the category of if you read Yeredi Melechayev as a legal category of what one is obligated or allowed to do, or and some of them work with. If you're reading Lechayav is idiomatic, you go mess him up, whatever that means, in whatever way it matters.
Right?
So then for his final, when he offers these two, I mean, and then I think that contradiction sort of carried through or misunderstood by various further commentators, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when he offers two, and he says two objections, right?
Mm-hmm.
So his first objection to that is that how is it possible that if you're in Yeredi Melechayev means a legal category that the Chachamim would allow this, or I go around, versus if if it's a moral category, like go mess him up, how is it possible that Chachamim would let you do that whenever you want, as opposed to having that be a legal category?
You want to say this either or?
Yeah, or if it's the other objection of that it doesn't work in every case, that means you can't define Yeredi Melechayev as meaning the same thing in every case, it's just a medium.
Aha. Okay, that's an interesting read of the start of the second question. It doesn't convince me, but it's reasonable. And it's just, I think that's, I don't have better answers, so you're welcome to develop your own.
And then I think this is just carried through, right? So everyone here either takes one position or the other.
Well, so I'm fairly moda, right? This is what I'm trying to demonstrate, is that, right, if you have this term, and you can interpret it as really vaguely and moralistic, idiomatically, moralistically, whatever you want, you can interpret it really rigorously, legally, and both interpretations exist. Sometimes the same person will offer both interpretations depending on context. Sometimes the same person will change their mind as to which one it is in which context. What I want to do is that it's at least possible to say that the case of Ani Me'apeh Becharara, Nikra Rasha, is not just a moral judgment, but is actually a judicial ruling. That's where I want to get. I don't want to claim that's demonstrable, right, but I want to build towards, you can see that the terms are unclear all the way through, and here we finally get to the Arayim, and the Arayim is willing to take it all the way. Now, Rosenzweig always says that, at least back in my day, right, there were Rosenzweig's two favorite Rishonim were the Arayim and the Tosfos Rid, because they always took the extreme position. Right, you could count on them, right? If there was a category that could have an extreme application, they would take it all the way. I tend to use the Chazon Ish that way. So I don't know if you're convinced by the Arayim, but at least but you see other people start putting into play the Ravan, and then the Arayim pushes it all the way and says, essentially, what he's saying is every time it says, that's what I'm trying to say, every time you say Nikra Rasha, that should not be read vaguely, that should be read legally. And it has a very specific context, and that specific context.
Is that defensible?
Is that defensible? Sure. Why not?
From all the examples we see, they're just on Nikra Rasha, they don't seem at all like they're legal categories. Right?
They didn't. To you, but if you read the Arayim, read them all consistently, right? They're all and the Ravan read at least some of them that way.
I have a shiur from the Maharam.
Yeah.
Ach deu shekol rabo seinu shavim bezeh shamadi yado chaver nikra rasha upasalitus.
Okay, so there are people right.
Extreme position.
There'll be a lot.
What?
So mamagbia yado al chavero, right? That's right.
Right.
Mamagbia yado al chavero is not an extreme position. So what you have is a set of cases in which. Everyone's instinct is that some of them it's just a vague thing, and some of them it's a really legal thing, and some people are happy living with the inconsistency, and some people say no, how can you be inconsistent? So they'll either say no, it never has legal valences, or always has legal valences, and then people's sensibilities, right? If you take the position you're willing to live with dissonance, so there will be some cases which is clear, and there'll be some and then there'll be middle cases which. Even the people who agree that you don't have to interpret it consistently, they'll disagree about which category this one falls into.
Does it have change?
Pardon?
Can the language have changed?
And language can change.
No, is that possible? Is that I can't check, right? Is that thematically consistent with like the Tanaim who use the phrase? Any of them?
No, we're only interested in medievals, right? We're talking about how Rishonim interpret it. So
okay,
right, so that's not going to matter.
it's not going to matter. If you want to, if you happen to discover, you know, an early academic Rishon, right, who said, ah, we'll interpret it, you know, when it says Tanim say it this way, and I want to say it this way, that would be awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I'm just so confused for a second. Is there precedent to say that something that as outward as strange as Anim Habach before will talk also on readers?
Yeah, Gemara says he's Nikra Russia. What could that mean other than
no,
it's possible
to do? I'm saying besides this case, like you're doing another weird case where like it's not necessarily
weird case? Not being a Dola Khaviro. You just raised your hand, you didn't actually hit him. But aside from aqueducts, what has somebody been called a Rosh Hashanah does lately?
I just think the precedent to say that something as
what? You're saying you want to find someone who says that if a Tom Hoffman was a Santa for his Rebbe, he's puzzle
latest. Oh, I don't know.
Yes. Right. See, that's the other outlier case we had, right? Tom Hoffman only say Rebbe. So I think you look it up, you'll find that Rahim says that, of course. What else could it mean?
It's not so crazy.
Pardon?
Not so crazy.
Why so crazy? I don't know. It seems perfect sense to me.
I mean...
Yeah?
It's true, we have the pasuk for being makareus in Chumash.
Mm-hmm.
Which can make a difference. Meaning that's actually the Torah is telling you. This person's a Russian. You know the Russia's been a Torah or Psyllatus.
So you're one of the intermediate people.
As opposed to the answer's I'm saying, one could be, I don't know. I have to find the Urayim that comments on this.
Yeah, see, even the Urayim, you think, might not be that extreme. We'd have to wait to find a Tosis read.
We have to find something, yeah.
Okay. So I don't really care about that case. I only care about anything about the Harara. Right, all this is just to show you that, you know, that the Adim HaPech B'Chararo, what the Urayim says is not a ridiculous thing. Or at least, now I have to, not only the Urayim says this. I have to, right, I'm arguing that the Hagolas Maimunios understands the Urayim.
Because he says V'chein Pasuk Maram, and Maram says Nikra Rosh Hashanah Pasuk Latus.
He doesn't say V'chein Pasuk Maram, he says V'chein Pasuk Reim.
No, but then
the Maram.
Oh, he says V'chein Hayamorei V'Shalom.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Maram.
So you think that's enough?
I think that's
it's
enough.
It's pretty good.
Okay. I'm happy to live with the support.
I mean, I thought that was just what the Dago meant the whole time.
Okay, good.
I didn't think it depended on this whole, like, the end thing.
Okay. Okay. The Ram Mintz comes along and says, I'm like, Bia Yado al Chaver Nikra Rasha, Haino Lakoro Kain, below the Pasla Ages. Right? He explicitly rejects this. The Chia Agav Na'ani Mahapek Becharora. She'eno Ela, She'modiin Elu Shenikroim Rasha, Ulai Yachzer Behem. Ve'enam tzulim le'edus, ve'enam chayav l'shalem. V'nafkemina, sh'arei akrei l'dam rasha yirmeil l'chayav avdinu le'dine, ma she'en kein b'zeh. Okay, so Ram Mintz goes exactly the opposite direction. This is all the effort I have made to connect Anim HaPech B'Charora to all these cases. No, don't do that. This has nothing to do with Nikra Rasha, right? Nikra Rasha is a totally different halacha, and these are totally disjoint. Okay, but he says, Ravon Pasach, I don't know what that word is supposed to be. Karin lo rasha, v'pasu le'edus l'shvuch. Yeah, but what does that mean?
Like in the realm of witnesses?
Could be. As, you know, it sounds like the word Eidus could fit in there somewhere. It doesn't fit grammatically.
It's the Eero.
Or it could be something else entirely. I don't know.
It's like the
Chazim. I am entirely agnostic. Ramban pasach the Karin l'Rasha pasul Eidus l'shula shenek the nishma v'nozal afti shart v'yos.
Wait, so in the previous part, he undid the connection that the Hagamah Menuyot implied.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, then the Ravon puts it back. Right, but the Ram Mintz takes the, as far, right, the Ram Mintz and the Hagamah Menuyot are my poles. Hagamah Menuyot conflates everything, and the Ram Mintz says, Ani Marafa Pechora does not belong in the same conversation.
Completely different kind of Russia.
Yeah. Okay, right, so there you have your extreme.
What do you mean he takes Hakara out?
He says he breaks the whole connection between the Yoredim Ola Chayav, right, and what the connection we set up through Rashi. The Rashi says that there's that Yoredim Ola Chayav is what you do in Nikra Rasha, and it's also what you do, right? It's also what you do in response to other bread, and we set up the whole ways of connecting those things. He says, no, Yoredim Ola Chayav is halacha that applies only and specifically to somebody who calls somebody else a Rasha. In all these other cases of Nikra Rasha, all the cases where somebody is a Rasha are unrelated to the case where somebody calls somebody a Rasha.
But I don't think he separates the Magdi Yarov of Eru from Anu Ahav.
That's true. That's true. But he disjoins Nikra Russia from Russia.
Which is what I was saying all along.
Yes, right. He takes your position. That's fine. Every position you think of is going to exist in the Mishnah. I think, you know, at least the Mishnah. The Torah is set up so that you should be able to find every position in the Mishnah. Okay, then there's a machlokas between the Chafei Romi and the Chafei Lusir about whether it matters whether you're dealing with a Jewish merchant or a non-Jewish merchant. Kind of fun to figure out what that is really about. Then we just throw it for more fun. Tosfos says that Yoredim Elokayav means you can destroy Rashai Lisrof Shlish Tuvoto. But Tema Gadol Minayim Lozer. We've gone from we thought it was really extreme to let you build a house store next to his store. No, you can actually burn down a third of his a third of his tuvot. So the Rivash,
that was the best source.
Right?
That was the best source, by the way.
Scootsie won't start burning out fields and taking
the Bnei Yisrael is a Hasidic Svara, but not again.
Well, we actually discussed the practical application of this, and probably the best way to implement it is not to actually burn down his field, but to burn down like his silo.
Because otherwise, it's his risk that like the pound of flesh that will go beyond the third, and he'll be in trouble.
Right.
Okay, so the Rivash, I think, quite compellingly says that this is probably an idiom, right? And it's probably a symbol even, and it relates to the story of Tanar Shalach Noi, where Eliezer is insulted, and the result is that a third of the world is destroyed, right? And he says, well, maybe it didn't really mean a third of the world, it really meant a third of the field belonging to the people who insulted Eliezer, and that's where... Right, and that's where this comes from. And the end he has his last line is Zeh Nirah Lefi Pirusham Ve'ena Milu Divrei Chalamot. Right, this is all. I actually think it's really quite compelling. But you should know the Rivash thinks it's
a dream.
Yes. okay. Last thing, the Shudra Rivash. The Rivash says Rashi Yemeir Lefeyav. V'imkein who natan etzba bein shinav v'hichshilo shiatris kenegdo. Okay, so what's wrong with calling somebody a Russia?
They're gonna get you back.
You're causing them to also do an avera because
yes.
They're gonna end up responding with anger and doing.
That's right, because she'ain kol ben adam yecholin l'mshol b'ruchana. This is really difficult. She'ain kol ben adam yecholin l'mshol b'ruchana. Does that mean not all people can, or all people cannot?
I think we know.
Yeah. It sounds like not all people can. You might have Sani Gadol Dekin. I think it's all people cannot.
Okay, good. Yes, Josh, what do you think?
Well, I think the Rivash is saying that if you call someone a Russia, you are literally asking for it.
Yes. That's I think it makes it. Yeah, I'm glad that we have the same machloket. My tendency is that he thinks that it's no real man could stand to this.
When I said Ein Shum Ben Adam Yachol instead of Shane.
I think idiomatically, in modern Hebrew you would be right. I think in medieval Hebrew I'm not at all compelled that the distinction matters.
Okay.
But as I bridge the difference, right? You think, right? Because we understand there are always milk toasts and wimps. People like that, but we're talking about real people, right? Real men don't let other people.
But also, it's as if you're giving him permission to avenge himself.
Giving him permission?
Yeah, because you're literally asking for it.
I don't know. That's a little.
Because that's not.
I mean, literally in a very not metaphorical,
very extreme Joshua.
No, because that's the point. Because otherwise, why has it justified?
Well,
right?
No, but justification is not a reason.
That's the point, but the Gemara says you could do it. Meaning, just in case it's not a reason, so it should be usher. Why is it mutter? He's mutter himself for it.
Right, although you could say Yoredim Elokhayav is descriptive and not prescriptive, because right, I gave you another Gemara, right?
Well, then there's no reason for the whole.
Right. What's the proof? What's the Gemara that proves that Yoredim Elokhayav can be descriptive and not prescriptive? Because a person, when he's called a Rasha, he's a Remeid El Chayav. That's wrong. But God, is not your Remeid El Chayav. So that seems to be...
I don't mean it's wrong. It means that's natural, and God's
natural.
It's a change. It could still be prescriptive.
The natural is good.
It's not good. It just is.
All right, you understand the argument. You understand, right? I understand how you can try and get out of it. You know, at the very least, it reduces it to reshus. And
by the way, the Meiri says that Yoredi Malchayev needs punched in the face.
Yes, he does.
So how do you read this?
Also,
like,
yeah.
So,
does he use the word lucky?
Yeah.
Not right. Ain't kolbe adam. Not all people. All people cannot control their tempers and hear themselves humiliated to be called Rishayim Gemurim and not respond. And that they would not respond.
Right. And look at his example.
Yes, and his example is a beautiful example. It says that there's a story from Tamasa Devei Rebbe sees a man striking his grown son, and she puts him in cherem because he's violated with neighbor because the son is going to hit back.
So that's my proof that it's a given.
But the son's not allowed to hit back.
But he's going. You know, he's going to. Otherwise
that's right. That's my point. Right? It's natural. That's right. It's descriptive.
You are said that's not natural.
The answer is in that case, adult children will not respond to being disciplined, will not tolerate being disciplined physically without hitting back. And that's way halakhically, right? You can't hit you, right? Even when capital punishment was mutter, but you can only, capital punishment was only mutter up until the age where it was reasonable for the children to experience it as discipline and not as an attack.
Corporal punishment.
Yeah, right, sorry, right. Right, but that's the boundary, right? The halakhic boundary initially was that we understand that corporal punishment can be experienced as discipline or it can be experienced as an attack. And there was a developmental age at which point you would no longer experience it as discipline. And at that developmental age, so then it becomes usur. Even if you're not attacking, so it's not chavola, right, but it's lifnei iver, because they'll experience it as an attack and they'll respond by hitting you back, even though they're not allowed to. Right, so he said, now, so
but
it's
not... But you are allowed to.
Yor doesn't say the son's allowed. No, that's exactly my point. Maybe he's not. Right, that's right, the reading, right, the radical reading of the Rivash is to say that Yoredi Molochayav is descriptive. If somebody calls you a Rasha, you're going to be Yoredi Molochayav. Of course you shouldn't. And that's his response to Rashi. Rashi says, how could the Chachamim be Matir? They weren't. Mm-hmm. It's a description.
But you're also... You're stepping outside of normal legal behavior.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. It's as if. I think it's as if.
Uh-huh.
You were slapped in the face and challenged to a duel.
So does that mean when somebody slaps you in the face and challenges you to a duel, you're allowed to run them through?
And burst out the country.
It's a thing that happens.
Yes, it's a thing that happens. We're against it. This is, look, we wanted a long thing, right? You know, so in my early shurim, right, that's all attached to is the notion that there is such a thing as internal, as psychological onus, and right, and that is one understanding of Bab Machteret doesn't mean that you're allowed to defend yourself, to defend your house against, to prevent theft. It means that people, in Adam Yachola, Amidam Esbol Mamono, people are not capable of restraining themselves. But of course, it would be virtuous if you didn't kill people who just came to rob you.
I don't think you're reading the Rivash as a fair reading of the Gemara. So, again, Hakar Lechaveru Eve Yehe Benidoi. That's a halachic statement.
Mm-hmm.
Hakar Lechaveru Mamzer Sovik Zerbayim.
Mm-hmm.
That's a halachic statement.
Uh-huh.
Hakar Lechaveru Rasha Yer Melchayev.
Yes, that's really interesting, right?
That's a warning that if you call someone a Rasha, I mean, if you call someone a Eve or a Mamzer, we're going to do something to you halachically. If you call someone a Rasha, nothing's going to happen to you halachically, in any halachic sense whatsoever. You should just be warned that the person's going to attack you. Either monetarily or physically or however.
So you're saying there's a lack of parallelism, and I'll point out there is a lack of parallelism because the first two cases Bezdin responds, and in this case they don't. Lazu and Beit Din Niskakim. Right, so I can read it both ways. I want to argue that it's possible to read the Rivash that way, possible to read the Rivash that way, that in the end, right, maybe we'll have the extreme other version that there is no justification at all for doing anything in response. And maybe that's the same case also. Someone does something which makes them call to Russia. What can you do? Really, nothing. We know that when people do things to you, they're evil. You're likely to respond. Don't. On the other hand, we could also read it the other way and say that the Rivash, by drawing the comparison to the Masnavei Rebbe, actually is
actually is going back to, as Yesh said, is going back to saying that really the halacha of this halacha is the same as nidui. Is the same as the korelach of a rebbe. We put you in nidui because what does the masa of a rebbe do? She puts him in cherem.
No, that's for being over lefneiver.
And so, and that's what Rav Lush says, when you call somebody a Russia,
you're over
Lefeiver, because the person's going to respond. So we can, right, so we end up saying that we're unreading that Gemara, and saying that Yoredi Moloch Hayav is the justification as to why we'll put you in
Karim. That won't fit into the words of the Rav Lush, though.
Why not?
It says Damik Tzas.
Yeah?
So you just took a Damik Tzas and said, it's 100% the same case.
You know, we have a Vachain, we have a Damik Tzas. right, figure. I'm not, it's difficult to be really precise and comparative. Okay, so what I hope you do, and again, I hope you get to begin with, and this is you'll get early a theme of the shir, right, where the goal of the shir is to open possibilities and not to, right, not to eliminate them, so you can see that you can interpret this, that when you have a phrase which has, right, which has both idiomatic valence and a legalistic valence, there will always be people who have biases towards interpreting legalistically, people have biases towards interpreting idiomatically, people have biases towards consistency. Sorry, is that me? Oops, sorry. People who have biases, people who are comfortable living with inconsistency, and then right, and then people who will really take things very, very case by case. And in our particular case, we can see the full range. People who think that means that you did something so wrong that you lose all halachic status. And people who seem to think maybe that, you know what, he did something wrong. All right, how you extend that legally then becomes a major challenge. So that's where we're going to end here. I don't want you to think that we're in despair. We don't know anything. Right? We have lots of possibilities, and as we get more data, hopefully we'll be able to build more compelling patterns. Lots of you have already proposed hypotheses. Right, now we're going to have to go see, right, get more evidence, and see if those hypotheses stand up. Okay, last thing just to say is that the other possibility is, of course, is that it's not that it means one or the other, that it's discretionary. And that means every time there's a case, a person gets to decide which of those meanings, right, which of those meanings to apply to it. And if we have a total set of new cases, then as opposed to determining what the halakha is, right, sorry, but determining what the halakha was, we have to decide what the halakha should be. All right. Thank you, as always. Have a great rest of the day.
So, do you want us to finish this podcast? We're done with this.
We're done with this, right? You should. Anything, if you didn't read it.